This is the story about...
I want to do it too.
Okay.
One, two.
This is Precious Lives.
Stories about kids.
Teens.
Gums.
Gums.
And how we end the violence.
Bye-bye.
Because we are precious.
I'm Eric Vaughn. This is Precious Lives. In December of 2010, 18-year-old Marcus Evans took 17-year-old Genosha Alexander's life on her way home from school. On a whim, he walked her into an alley and shot her in the back of the head. For Genosha's family, it's a fine line between feeling tormented by the void and grateful for the memories. Precious Lives producer Emily Foreman talked with Genosha's mother, Latasha Stewart, about how she and her family tried to feel whole again after her daughter's murder.
If Genosha Alexander were alive today, she'd be 21 years old. Her room is exactly how she left it, filled with her things, but not her voice.
And she loved to sing because she believed she had a beautiful voice, which she did. And like her and my fiancé, when it was time to go to bed, they would sing from room to room, "Lay your head on my pillow."
Since her daughter's death, Latasha Stewart cherishes the memories. But remembering can be painful.
I used to have everything in one little box so I can just go to it at any time. But like my psychiatrist told me, not to have anything that brung me down out in the open.
She's digging through old photos she had stored away.
That's my baby in first year school.
And lots of little memories celebrating both life and death. Like the program from Genosha's funeral.
And, oh, yeah, these are the best pictures. I wore this hairdo for a long time because she had did it.
Before she died, Genosha styled Latasha's hair, a passion they shared. Latasha kept it through the funeral and as long as possible.
She loved to do hair.
Some photos now offer clues that she hadn't noticed when Genosha was still alive.
Not many people know the night before her actual death, I had caught her in her room, laying on her back with her hands crossed, and she was just crying. And I'm like, "Baby, why are you crying?" And she's like, "Mom, I don't know." She took like 1,000,001 pictures and my cell phone at like 2 o'clock in the morning and then woke them up.
She woke up her two brothers, Joseph and Joanne.
Made them do a little rap session with her in the basement. So she actually, from December 1st to December 14th, she actually tried her best to get it in with everybody.
December 15th, 2010. Genosha was on her way home from school. She had been rehearsing for the winter concert. She ran into 18-year-old Marcus Evans. Genosha didn't know Marcus aside from seeing him around the neighborhood. He had a shotgun, walked Genosha into an alley, and shot her in the back of the head.
All I can remember from the pictures is seeing my baby beautiful face laying on the ground in the freezing ice. You can't see the outside of her coat, but you can see the inside of her coat. Her book bag is a couple feet or so away from her. She had that beautiful smile, blood spots on her teeth, big hole right here.
Latasha knew how her daughter died, but she requested an autopsy anyway. It revealed that Genosha didn't have any tears in her tear ducts.
And they let me know that she had no tears in her tear ducts. And then from murder pictures, see her perfect smile with the blood splatters in the hole.
This comforted Latasha.
I took it as if she probably knew. And in the beginning, we used to still kind of hear her here. Like, if you left her bedroom door open and we were down here kicking it, all of a sudden, you will hear her bedroom door slam.
After Genosha passed, Latasha didn't work for years. She left her nursing job partly because she lost her ability to feel compassion. She saw a psychiatrist every week for 3 years.
I know I was depressed. I had never felt it before. Don't want to feel it again, but I'm not going to lie. For a whole year, I walked around with her obituary in my purse.
Why?
Trying to feel whole.
For a couple of years, she was an alcoholic. Then on Genosha's 21st birthday, she snapped out of it.
So on her 21st birthday, we had to talk and she was like, "It's time for you to step up. I need you there for my brothers." And she said, "Mama, you got to be strong. You got this." And I had told everybody then, "I'm done celebrating." Then baby told me to be here for my boys.
Latasha is working again. She removes asbestos and lead from buildings for the city.
I cut pipes. I use sledgehammers. Like when I'm feeling bad or low, when I get to busting them walls down and things, I feel much, much better.
Now.
This December 15th, the anniversary of Genosha's death, isn't like years past. It's low-key, no balloons or banquet hall, just close friends and family sitting around the kitchen table.
Now this year, I thank God that I feel really loved and better. I had to get my house back to a home. A house is somewhere to lay your head. A home, you come in and you feel joy, warmth, and comfort. Now we sit at the table, we laugh. We play cards, we play dominoes, we play Monopoly, things that we used to do when she was here.
Like styling hair. Today, Latasha decided to style her hair. It's curled. It's the first time she had the desire since Genosha passed.
Home is whenever I'm with you.
If you or someone you know is dealing with the pain of losing a loved one to violence, Mental Health America of Wisconsin can help. They have a comprehensive guide that can connect you with support groups, ALDA counselors, and psychiatrists. You can find a link to their guide and a number to call on our website, preciouslivesproject.org. Precious Lives is produced by 371 Productions in association with WUWM, WNOV, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. We're supported by the Greater Milwaukee Foundation and the Isabel and Alfred Bader Fund. Music by Kiran V of Fresh Cut Collective.